those of you standing in the back,
it's very nice to play.
There are some places up here in the front, three in the front row, about half a row in the third row, some over on this side. If you can move in and create more space, that would be helpful, so that everyone who wants to sit down can sit down. That would be a good idea. If you have an open seat next to you, raise your hand. Then maybe some of the people in the back.
Perfect timing.
Well, that's good.
Sense of humor.
I hope you're all wearing luminescent gloves so that... Okay, there are some up front here. But I would like to get going, so move in as quietly as you can. Good evening. I'm Randy Kerr, Executive Director of the Albert Lee Fribourne County Chamber of Commerce. I want to first of all thank all of you for being here tonight for this and what we hope is the first of several community conversations. As many of us have discovered as we travel around the state, Albert Lee is known as an extremely collaborative and civil community. Recognizing that emotions are running high, I would ask that you treat the panelists and each other with civility and respect. We have been taking written questions in the common area, but will, at the assistance of Mayo Clinic Health System, have an open mic forum later in the program. I would hope to work with some of the written questions, but certainly won't get to them all. May not get to any, depending on how the open forum goes. However, the questions that do not get answered here tonight will be given to Mayo Clinic Health System to address, and I think they'll tell you how that'll work later. After the our representatives from Mayo Clinic give us a brief overview, I then have a whole series of questions that have been gleaned from social media, from other media comments, and contacts with me personally, and we will ask some of those questions. And if you hear the question you're going to ask, then I ask that you please defer from the microphone, and we will address how that will go when we get to that portion. So let's get started, because it's my job to keep us on time. We have about an hour and a half and a little bit over that. So I will ask our panelists to introduce themselves briefly, and we'll begin with Dr. Gostout.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Bobby Gostout. I'm Vice President for Mayo Clinic and the leader of Mayo Clinic Health System. Pleasure. All right, let's try that again. Good evening. Dr. Bobby Gostout from Mayo Clinic. I'm Vice President for Mayo Clinic, leader of Mayo Clinic Health System. My medical surgical role is as a gynecologic oncologist, so I do surgery for women's cancers. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. My name is Mark Schody. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for Albert Lee and Austin.
You too, Mark.
My apologies. Is this on?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah!
My name is Mark Schody. I'm the CEO of Albert Lee and Austin. I'm an orthopedic surgeon by training. And Albert Lee and Austin are part of the Southeast Minnesota region of Mayo Clinic Health System.
Good evening. I'm Chad Adams. I am the city manager for the city of Albert Lee, and I'm serving as our spokesperson this evening. I want to thank all of you for being here this evening. We're very pleased to be partners in coordinating this community forum, which, again, as Randy mentioned, we hope will be a part of many conversations in the future. And I think we're here to provide some answers on what some of the impacts will be on the community and ultimately what some of our options are moving forward with the announcement by Mayo last week. So keep your questions coming to the city. We'll pass those on to Mayo for those directed by Mayo, but the city and the city leaders will continue to provide some answers to the community's questions and concerns as well. Thank you.
My name is Christopher Schoff. I'm the 4th District Fribourne County Commissioner, first elected in 2006, and was asked tonight to be the county representative at tonight's forum because we're in the hiring process of a new county administrator. Our last board meeting, we unanimously approved a resolution sending a letter expressing our displeasure with the plan and asking Mayo representatives to present to us at either our July 11th or 18th regular board meetings. We have yet to receive confirmation on when that will be, but have been in contact with the representatives. We also met with representatives of the nurses union at our workshop this week. I'm here tonight not to add validation or endorse this decision, but to give the county's perspective on what changes might mean to the community. While I represent the commissioner district that the footprint of the hospital resides in, I represent the citizens of that district just as other commissioners represent the citizens of their respective district.
Thanks to all of you. And now I'll turn to the Mayo representatives and ask them to give us a brief overview of the changes as we see them today.
Thank you. I'll try to remember to be loud enough, and I've learned already that you let me know clearly if I'm not. So the first thing I want to say is a genuine and sincere thank you to people for being here tonight to come and share your questions and concerns. Dialogue is very important. We need to understand one another in order to get this right. The first thing I want to address is that we are committed to serving the community of Albert Lea. You are all here tonight because you know that the medical center has played a vital role in this community, and you want to assure that this community remains strong. Let it not be lost on you, though, that Mayo Clinic and our Mayo Medical Center also relies on you. It is a two-way balance that has sustained the strength here, and we know that, we're aware of that, and we'll continue to work toward honoring that. The most important thing we want to do tonight is hear your questions and concerns. The first question that I've heard, and the question I hear most commonly, is why? Why are we working toward this consolidation? I want to simply state that we've come to realize we must make changes now in how healthcare services are delivered in order to ensure that we can continue to provide those services that you need now and in the future. It's pretty easy for me to guess what you need and what you want when you need healthcare. First of all, we know that you need and want access to the providers who will care for you when you have a healthcare need. We also know that you want doctors, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners who you know and who know you so that you can have and enjoy that efficiency of care that happens when you have an established team providing care for a long continuum in your community. We know that you want quality care for best outcomes so that you can enjoy every healthy day of your life. And finally, we know that you want a vital medical community and staff who can be part of this community and who can help to enrich this community and make it everything it could be. We want the same things for you, and we believe that with these changes, we're moving towards securing those things for the future, not endangering them. Healthcare is facing many challenges. Most people who would major in business would say any business other than healthcare. It is a tough time. There are staffing shortages, there are rising costs, there are significant reductions in reimbursement, all of it making harder every day to make the equation work so that we can pay our staff, keep the lights on, bring in the equipment that we need to provide high quality care. So what attracts an individual to not only come to Albert Lea to say, I want to be a physician living and serving in this community, but brings that solid commitment to stay? We know that it's not easy to get people here, but that we must have jobs that are attractive. That means they want to be challenged, they want to feel like they're part of a vital and supportive community. The new physicians graduating from medical school are making lifestyle choices in ways that they never did before. And they want to know that they've got the support and the equipment they need to deliver outstanding care, as well as knowing that they're embedded in a community of other providers who share that same value. That's what we have to build. That's what we have to sustain in order for you to get the things you want when you need medical care. Now, as we talk about consolidation and optimization, we know that you've got very real concerns. One of the first things you've heard is jobs, that this is all about jobs. And I just want to make it very clear that for us in Mayo Clinic Health System, this proposal is not about reducing jobs. We will be shifting work, but the patients that we're caring for now are all going to be cared for, and if we do this right, additional patients seeking care in your outstanding medical communities. We know that driving distance is a concern. And when you or a family member are personally affected by a need for inpatient hospitalization, things will change, and there will be that 23-mile drive. Or if you live away from Albert Lea, further out, we know that it could be even longer. In exchange for that additional drive, you are going to see changes in the health care offered that mean a higher level of care. The first thing that you will notice is that as we build larger units with more expertise and better staffing, that we're going to be able to reduce the number of transfers to Rochester. So in exchange for that short drive here, we think we'll be able to provide for a higher level of patients in your community. We also think it'll be a higher level of care. It doesn't make sense to duplicate every service in two hospitals 23 miles apart, but in our optimized unit, it will make sense to bring in all of the modern technology and equipment that it takes to get that level of care to the highest level for your community. And we believe that we'll be able to do this all in a way that is more affordable and more sustainable. That benefits you, and that will benefit the health system. Together we'll be stronger. Now I want to turn it over to Dr. Chody to discuss more about what will happen and when.
Okay, thanks. And again, let me know if I'm not speaking loud enough. I just want to go over a list of services that will stay in Albert Lea so that as we have discussion, we're all on the same page. The emergency department is staying, and in fact, the level of care will have to increase. All the primary care doctors, urgent care, pediatrics, pregnancy care and gynecology, specialty care from specialists in the outpatient clinics, the cancer center, the dialysis unit, the wound care center. We're going to have Albert Lea be the outpatient surgical hub, so we'll have an increase in outpatient surgery. All of the supporting services that those require, lab, radiology, pharmacy, those type of things, our addiction services at Fountain Centers, and then we'll also be gaining from Austin the inpatient psychiatric service, which averages about 14 patients a night. So those things are about 95% of our patient contacts that we do on a daily basis. You know about the things that are already moving. And then the other thing that I hear is that this is going to happen sometime next week. It's going to take 3 or 4 years for this to happen, and the final phase would be somewhere late 2019 or early 2020. The first phase would be the ICU, which would be in October of this year. I've been contacted many times, you can imagine, the last 2 weeks with information, misinformation, so it's important to me that everybody has the facts as we know them. And so we're going to, on our webpage, have a website dedicated to these type of facts. And it's the MayoClinicHealthSystem.org. I think we might put that up later. That's where we'll put information that people are asking about so that you can look at it. And with that, I'll turn it back to Randy.
And I'll move into some questions that we've received from the community. And I realize that Dr. Gostout has referenced jobs, but one of the what appears to be a commonly held notion is that up to 500 jobs could be lost to Albert Lea. Maybe Dr. Chody, you can address that question. I only know what I hear.
Yeah, that number is just not based on any type of fact that I'm aware of. I mean, we have 1,000 employees at each campus, and so we have 1,000 employees in Albert Lea, 1,000 in Austin, and we're really shifting quite a bit of the work. Our modeling in 5 years, we'd actually add a few jobs. Now, short term, some of those jobs are going to shift to Austin. There's no doubt about that. But the number is going to be a very small number. It's not 500. It's not 100. It's not 50. It's not 25. It's going to be lower than that. And again, as we increase services, it can increase volume. We can get some of those back. And we think long term, we'll actually have more jobs between the two places. Now, where individuals work, yes, will change, and that includes myself.
Okay. Well, in that same regard, so there's the question of nurse seniority, and how are you going to protect seniority as these changes go forward?
Right, so there's two terms. There's length of service and seniority. Length of service is our term. When an employee is hired, that's their first day of service, and then they accrue years, and those years are what helps them earn extra vacation, somewhat determines their salary. So no matter where our employees work, we are going to honor their length of service. That will not change. So if you've worked for 25 years in one spot and we ask you to work in the other, when you go over there, you'll retain the 25 years of service. Seniority is a union or bargaining contract term, and that's whether or not the unions in the two different sites will recognize each other's length of service. And that decision is not for us to make. That's a union decision that they'd have to negotiate with each other. So we're going to honor the length of service. Seniority is up to the individual bargaining units.
It is fair to say, though, that we hope that that seniority will be honored.
Yeah, our request is that the seniority between the two campuses is honored.
Okay. Dr. Gostout, several years ago when communities were asked to support Destination Medical Center, the part of the selling point is that it would drive services and patients out into the Southeast Minnesota region. To the community, this appears to be the reverse of that. Can you deal with Destination Medical Center and the impact that it's having on the community today?
It's a multifaceted question, but let's talk about the impact of Destination Medical Center on the community today. We still hold the concept of keeping patients in place as a major priority for the Destination Medical Center's success and for the community's success. It's one of those times when we really have a great symbiosis. It works better for the community, it works better for the patients, it works better for the families, and it works better for the Destination Medical Center. At this point, I would say we're still in the early phase of that. I don't think we've seen any major shift of patients yet. Our intent is to keep building the capabilities, the reputation, and the facilities needs so that we can drive that. The EICU is one of the major steps in that direction, and you may or may not have heard about that, but our ICUs are connected to Rochester so that questions can be asked back and forth day or night to make sure that people who are working in the smaller centers feel that they've got the backup, the decision-making, the shared decision-making to try to get it right, to say, can we still keep that patient here? How can we modify that care? Is it his time when it's in the patient's best interest to transfer? When we go from two intensive care units, each with an average of four patients a day in them, to one intensive care unit with eight patients, we're confident that we'll be able to have more ventilator patients maintained in the community and additional expertise in the care so that those critical decisions that are made, keep the patient here or transfer the patient, that's going to be one of the first steps where we're going to be able to see this goal, which is keeping patients in place at a higher level while still providing outstanding care.
Okay. Thank you. A little change up here. I'm going to go to Mr. Adams and Commissioner Schaaf. What economic impacts do you see of this change to the community, and do you have a way of measuring the economic impact to the community? And I'll turn first to Mr. Adams.
Well, I think at this point in time it's difficult to measure because there are a lot of uncertainties in some of the changes that are going to occur in terms of the number of jobs they're going to be relocating from Albert Lea to Austin. I think we do recognize, however, and we are concerned that there will be some immediate impact starting already in October and then later with the inpatient beds moving, that there won't be as much traffic in Albert Lea with those individuals being in our facilities, but also family members coming to visit as well, too, that they'll be doing more of that in Austin. Over the long term, I think one of our concerns is if all of our physicians in those areas of services, along with the nurses, are transitioned over to Austin, they may still live in the community right now, but as transition occurs or attrition occurs and they bring in new nurses and physicians, they're likely going to be looking at moving to Austin first rather than moving to Albert Lea. So we believe there's going to be some economic consequences from that with the information that we have today. Now, that could be mitigated or limited if there are a lot of inpatient beds coming over from the behavioral health and a lot of staff coming along with that, where we have the equivalent amount of jobs or more jobs potentially in those areas of service. But to the broader perspective, we think it's going to be a quality of life issue. We don't believe it's going to impact recruitment of jobs for the recruitment services that happen throughout the various facilities in the community. But I think what we're hearing from the community the most is the impact of the baby center moving over and the impact that's going to have on quality of life and some of our local economy as well, too, by not having that traffic in Albert Lea.
Okay, we'll come back to the birthing center, but I want Chris to have an opportunity to address the economics of it.
I think from the county's perspective, we learned of this change when the community learned. I personally was asked Monday when the Nurses Association put out the letter, and then Tuesday was the press conference. So I think everything's a little new, which is why the county board was asking the representatives from Mayo to come to our meeting so that we could have some questions answered. I think also from a county perspective, public health, human services weren't engaged in the process, and there may be some shifts in those departments because of it.
Okay, thank you. You know, let's reverse that now. What economic impacts do the folks from Mayo see? And we'll start with you, Dr. Gostow.
I want to really focus on what it would mean to have a premier outpatient surgery center here in Albert Lea as I consider economic impacts. It's easy to think that that's the second choice of surgery, but you have to know the trends in medicine to understand how important that is to say we're going to work on developing a premier outpatient surgery facility here. When we made the change in Rochester to taking outpatient surgery out of the mix of our usual inpatient ORs and setting aside two separate floors in the Gonda building and focusing on outpatient surgery, the patients who were cared for there all fill out a survey, and the survey comments went from I'm happy with my care to glowing comments time after time. When we focused on the specific needs of outpatients, the patients experienced a smoother transition in through surgery, out of surgery, and to outpatient. Everyone taking care of them was attuned to the needs of an outpatient. Furthermore, when we listened to the surgeons, the quote that I will always remember is one of my colleagues who started doing a portion of his surgery in the outpatient unit who said, I feel like I used to do surgery on a school bus and I just got keys to a Ferrari. When we can create that kind of positive experience, we can attract surgeons, surgical cases, and patients and families to this center. And I'm hoping that we can bring a bigger draw of patients to Albert Lea because we're providing something that is so appealing for on all sides of this. It's great to be a nurse there. It's great to be an anesthesiologist there. It's great to be a patient there. It's great to be a family member there. It's great to be a surgeon there. I don't want to lose track at all of all the potential that we see in this move. This isn't just you got card A and you got card B. We're really looking at A star, B star. We're building something that should be wonderful for this community.
Dr. Schody, anything to add to that?
I think, you know, the economic impact weighed heavily on our local group that was looking at this. Certainly, and you know, personally, very difficult for me. Thank you. You know, the difficulty of this is jobs, and we really want to preserve jobs as locally as we can. And so, we want to build Albert Lea's outpatient surgery and inpatient behavioral health services to the point that we'll get all the jobs that may shift back into Albert Lea. That'll take a few years, but that's a long-term plan. I think, you know, talking about economics too, I just want to get some facts and figures out just so, again, people understand the average number of patients that we have in the hospital in Albert Lea on any night on the medical surgical floor is 10. So we have 10 inpatients. It ranges from 2 to 20, but the average is 10 over the year, and these are current data of this year. We have 2 births a day, or 2 people in the OB unit, 3 patients in the ICU. The inpatient psych unit averages 10 patients as well. So when we switch those, the number of patients that will be in the hospital will be very close to each other, especially if the inpatient behavioral health grows. So 2 patients in OB, 10 patients as an inpatient per night, and 3 in the ICU.
Okay, since it's been brought up a couple of times, the birthing center is of key concern here. I think there's, I've heard comments that I'll be seen in Albert Lea, but someone else will deliver my baby in Austin, or and the question of why couldn't the birthing center have remained here?
Thanks for that. As an OB-GYN, this is near and dear to my heart. I followed this decision carefully, and I really care about getting this right, as do the providers of obstetrics and gynecology care here in this community. The first thing I want to say is that the OB-GYN staff who will be taking care of pregnant moms, prenatal, postnatal, is going to be a group for Albert Lea, a group for Austin. They may decide to have some share, but they are one OB group, and they will be sharing that care. They will also be sharing the coverage of the birth center. So the doctor who delivers you will still have a chance, or who takes care of you in prenatal care, will still have a chance of being on call when you deliver, and a chance that one of their colleagues will deliver you, very much like it is today. What we think will be different than today is our ability to attract outstanding individuals who find this an attractive practice that's sustainable. For as long as I've been in leadership in obstetrics, which was 8 years before, and now in the health system for a year and a half, we have not had full staffing of the OB team in this area. I think that's going to change as we make this job more appealing for individuals. So I'm guessing that you're going to find that the OB care is still outstanding, that we meet that criteria that you know your doctor and your doctor knows you, and I'm guessing that the delivery experience will still be things that you find rewarding and worthwhile, and making the decision to say, I want my OB care to be delivered by the team in Austin Albert Lea, making that an easy decision to say, yes, that's the right thing for me. We've got great providers. They're working way too hard right now. They're taking call way too often right now. I think every one of us that's in medicine feels lucky to have these jobs. But no matter how much you love your work and how lucky you are, the idea of being awake every third night and then working during the daytime to cover your clinic patients, it's not sustainable. It's wearing. We're paying attention to that, and I think in that way we're going to have a really better and more sustainable situation, so that you can say, this person was here and delivered my first baby, my second baby, my third baby, and then took care of me for menopause needs later on. You'll get that continuity of care that I think we all hope for as women when we're receiving OB-GYN care.
Okay. Another key question in the community is, someone comes into the emergency room and the determination is made that the person needs to be hospitalized. They now have to go to Austin. There is an ambulance ride involved, I would assume. I don't think anyone's going to be allowed to have their spouse drive them over there once they've been seen. So if that's the case, who pays for the ambulance ride? How does that work? Who makes that decision? That I've heard that repeatedly in the community, the concern for the cost of ambulance service.
I'll take that. Right now, between Albert Lea and Austin, we transfer 1,000 patients a year from our ERs to Rochester. So 1,000 patients a year deal with this exact thing already, going from Albert Lea and Austin to Rochester. And the same rules will apply. If you are brought to a facility that does not have the service that you need, your ambulance ride is covered by your payer, your insurance group. That's my understanding of currently how it works, and there'll be no change in that. One of the things that a bigger ICU will allow, when we looked at, one of the things we did is we looked back a year, and several of us opened all 1,000 of those charts, reviewed why are all these patients going to Rochester? What is it that we need to keep them more local? And 300 to 400 of them, it's because the ICUs aren't quite big enough. They're just a little too sick for our ICUs, but really don't need to go all the way to Rochester. So part of the idea is that a bigger ICU will allow 300 or 400 of those patients to stay more local. But the same rules will apply for the ambulance that we currently deal with now multiple times a day.
Okay. You've referenced attracting physicians, et cetera. Won't this make it more difficult to attract physicians to Albert Lea rather than make it easier?
No, I think it depends on the type of physician. So our big struggles have been with hospitalists. And for those of you that haven't been in the hospital as an inpatient recently, when you're hospitalized, you are currently no longer seen by your primary care doctor. You're seen by a specialist, which is called a hospitalist. And Albert Lea and Austin have had trouble recruiting hospitalists as individual sites because, again, there's about an average of 10 patients in the hospital, and the hospitalists that we interview, they want a little more challenge, they want a little bit sicker patient, they want to keep up their skills. And so in a unit where there's 20 to 30 patients, we think that we're going to be able to recruit hospitalists to that model. We currently have to hire outside physicians that aren't Mayo employees, which is not ideal. And so for hospitalists, we are confident that we'll get our own group of hospitalists that will increase the level of care, that will make your experience better. But that's going to require a unit of 30 to 40 patients for that to occur. Dr. Gostout's already talked about OB. And then the other side of that is primary care physicians there's a national shortage in rural America. It is very difficult to compete with cities and metropolitan areas for family practice, pediatrics, internal medicine, because many of those jobs now you can move into the cities and you don't have to take call. You don't have to work at night. You don't have to make rounds in a hospital. And we currently still rely on our family practitioners as kind of our safety net. So when we know that they're not going to be called like that because of the hospital system, we think we'll have a much easier job, a much more attractive job for them to want to join because there won't be that extra burden of call at night.
I'm just going to follow briefly and just make it very clear to everybody that we think this gives us our best chance, but none of us think that this is going to make it easy to recruit physicians. The American Association of Medical Colleges has said that they're estimating that there will be a physician shortage of 91,000, too few physicians for the positions needed by 2020, and that will rise to 131,000 by 2025. So I don't want to leave anybody with the idea that, oh, we'll do this and recruiting will get easy. It's always going to be tough, but we certainly want to position ourselves as strongly as possible as we face that challenge.
Thank you, Adam. I'm going to turn that to Chad and Chris. And how do you feel that would impact recruiting businesses to the community, new residents to the community? What kind of trends have we seen? And we'll go first to Mr. Adams.
You know, I think one of the conversations that we've been having here in the last 10 days with those who actually do the recruiting and a lot of our businesses who are looking for workforce, don't believe that's going to be a significant impact on their ability to attract new employees. With that being said, I think where we're a little bit more concerned is with younger families that might be moving into the community. I think, you know, oftentimes when they're moving to a community, they're looking at schools, the quality of life, and the health care. And certainly 95%, as we've been told, of the outpatient services and existing services will stay here, which are wonderful, but for those young couples that might be looking at building a family here or growing a family here, that's going to draw some concern for them. We don't know exactly how that's going to impact the community, but I think the obvious reaction to that is it does concern us in terms of attracting or retaining those young families to live and work in Albert Lea versus potentially Austin instead.
Commissioner Schaaf?
I think historically the economic recruitment and such has been a city issue. The one thing I would mention is it depends how this process goes within the community and how the community is engaged going forward and what changes take place and the perception of the community and whether their voices get heard.
Okay. Thank you. Another concern I've heard expressed is, what about, whether it be from a nursing home or, as the case of Lindsay M., who's a CNA, you know, what will happen to same-day surgicals that turn into overnight stays? What happens to the person who comes to the emergency room and the decision is made to have them stay overnight for observation? It's not surgical. What would happen to those patients?
Yeah, and that's one of the main things I've heard the last 2 weeks as well, and I actually spoke with Rochester leadership about that yesterday, 2 days ago, and we're actually going to explore that as an option. I mean, we heard loud and clear that it would be very nice to have the ability to have patients stay overnight for certain things. The caveat to that is that, as I just mentioned with the hospitalists, it would have to be a patient with a level of illness, like most observation patients, that could be treated by a nurse practitioner or physician's assistant with some physician backup. But we've heard that loud and clear, and I was just given permission a couple days ago to start to explore that. So we're going to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Several questions here that relate to the performance of both hospitals. If someone can speak to which hospital performed better financially or what really drove the decision to move the hospital beds, the med-surg unit, and the birthing center to Austin.
So I'll answer that, then I'll talk about Hormel. I'll just talk about that first. There was no contact with Hormel, the Hormel executives, the Hormel Foundation in any way, shape, or form. In fact, we went out of our way to make no contact with that company for this exact reason. So any statement to the contrary is just not factual. So
I'll remind everyone to please be respectful of the panelists. You'll have an opportunity later.
So Albert Lee and Austin are a single legal entity, so we do not separate the finances between the campuses. What I can tell you, and there's been some misinformation about our finances, and I'll just share with you, in 2015, we had a net operating loss. We lost $4.6 million between the two campuses. And again, because we have 1,000 employees and basically do the same thing, we would assume it's a 50-50 split. So we lost $4.6 million in 2015 and $8 million last year. And so that's kind of the financial picture that we're in. And so that's what one of the drivers as to how can we slow that down, how can we slow the losses down, continue to provide the care that we need to provide, do it in an environment where costs are increasing and reimbursements decreasing. And one of those ways is to have more patients located with the same diseases, same level of sickness, so you can get some efficiencies. So why was it Austin and not Albert Lee? And I can tell you from having been here and spent my entire adult life trying to build up that medical center over there, this is very difficult. And I was asked to lead the group to try to make that decision. And we struggled. We struggled for a year with it. And ultimately, we thought about how do patients move and what's the best move for patients. And so when you're sick, as you get sicker and need more care, you need to start moving towards the destination medical center. And so that was part of the equation, is what's the best for the patients. And then we had to think about what kind of buildings do we have and where are those at and how can patients transfer. And so I can tell you that the local leadership team, which involved Albert Lee residents and Austin residents, I mean, the Albert Lee people, is very difficult. But those are the main driving reasons.
Okay. Okay.
And some of you maybe didn't hear what, or didn't get information from a brief press conference that we did before, but the decision-making, first of all, centered around what makes medical sense to put together. So Dr. Chody and the outstanding team that really tackled this worked for a long time with the concept of Hospital A and Hospital B, deciding which services could be consolidated, which services did need to be duplicated, and how we best arrange things in a patient-centric manner. After deciding that, to be patient-centric, we felt like the highest acuity care, the ICU, the medical surgical care, and obstetrics had to be in a single location. And then it came down to the tough decision of, now given that both communities are really outstanding places, and both medical centers really offer so many great advantages, how do we figure out Hospital A and Hospital B? And I really love Dr. Chody's answer when he talks about patient flow, and again, a patient-centric decision. It makes more sense to set it up so that patients continue with higher acuity to flow toward the destination medical center, so that we're making it as easy as possible to get sick people where they need to be with the most efficiency.
Okay, thank you. We've been talking a lot about the patients and patient care, but most patients have families. Many of them in this aging community have aging spouses. Has there been any thought to increasing access to transportation from Albert Lea to Austin to visit their patient that's in the hospital, their loved one? There's a concern on the part of the elderly in particular about that travel, particularly in the wintertime.
Yeah, and we have a group of individuals that are looking at exactly that, is what transportation options are available, what transportation entities can we partner with to try to move patients and employees back and forth between the two campuses. I remember when I first came to town, shortly after that, we combined the dialysis units, and that ended up over here in Albert Lea. And that was, of course, a concern for the Austin patients that needed transportation to Albert Lea. And so we've been through that before at a smaller scale, and so we are looking into what those options are.
Okay. Additionally, there are some questions about, there's some capital investment going into Austin, and I believe some capital investment going into here. Will those costs be passed on to the consumers?
No, that was one of the things that we said locally was that if we're going to do this, we have to have facilities, especially the birthing unit, where our patients will want to go deliver. And I just think of the cities where you will drive 20 or 30 minutes to choose a place, but it's a place that has to be so fabulous as a facility staffed with wonderful people that do Mayo quality care that the only way to do that that we thought would be viable at all was to have money invested to upgrade the facilities at both campuses. The facilities are great. For rural America, we have fabulous facilities, but we're going to crank them up a notch to try to make the experience of the facility worth the drive.
Okay. For Chad and Chris, I think there's a commonly held question of, what can the city do? What kind of alternatives can the city or county explore to assure the community that they're getting top medical care and perhaps even have a hospital here?
Well, I think one of the things I'd like to speak to on the transportation side, we've got, and we're building a stronger relationship with Smart Transit, and maybe there's a possibility here to collaborate on that. We haven't had that conversation yet with Mayo, so that's might be a nice takeaway here for us to collaborate on that moving forward. And the second part of the question was?
Is there an alternative?
Yeah, so over the last 10 days, I've been reaching out and other city staff members have been reaching out to every hospital with essentially in a 200-mile radius. A lot of big names, a lot of small names, and I've had some very good conversations. I've heard back from everyone. Some of those conversations are still preliminary. One of the challenges that we face in Albert Lea with attracting a new hospital is the state of Minnesota does have some laws on the number of beds and moratoriums on beds in particular communities. So it's going to be very challenging to attract a new hospital based on that, considering that Mayo owns our hospital and our clinic. You may be aware of the recent situation in Wabasha where the Mayo clinic or Mayo provided services essentially to the hospital and to the clinic. The hospital was owned by a separate entity and essentially was through an agreement, I believe, for Mayo to provide services there. So Wabasha, not the city itself who owned it, but the hospital was able to essentially negotiate getting that back and moving in a different direction. We don't have that option here right now. And the secondary question we've been asking for all of these hospitals are, what is the potential for you to move into this market, knowing that it's not impossible, because we could go to the state legislature and plead for that. But the initial responses we're getting back are it's going to be very challenging, simply based on the metrics of competing against an existing hospital, even though it doesn't have inpatient care services in the community. So those are some of the preliminary items that we've been reviewing. Certainly going to continue to explore and reach out to a number of others. This will be an ongoing discussion over the next few weeks with all these hospitals.
Chris? We had the discussion at our workshop this week. I think, once again, I'm one commissioner out of five, but I think the consensus was that the city is kind of the driver on and looking around. I think we did talk about some options. I don't think it was reported in the paper about that discussion, and I think that's where the county's role is until we learn more from on July 11th or 18th.
Yes. And just one follow-up comment, too. I think based on the conversations and feedback that we've been hearing is if there is a possibility of somehow either saving the birthing center in Albert Lea, that might be a great positive outcome, or maybe exploring that more individually for a baby center of some sort in town beyond Mayo. Again, a lot of challenges probably that need to be pursued there. But we'll continue to look at all those options.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, it was our understanding that there was going to be an open mic.
There will be, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Mr. Ahrens, if you'd please take a seat and be respectful of the process. We will get to it. We will get to it, Mr. Ahrens. Joanne Schellhammer asked the question. You keep saying that inpatient counts for only 5%. Isn't this misleading? Isn't it true that these patients are the sickest, most vulnerable, and that they require and consume way more than 5% of our resources?
That is true.
Okay. The question is then followed up with, do they don't need an extra 30-minute drive to Austin when they're that sick. But I sort of think you've addressed that in moving closer to Rochester. Isn't that the response to that?
Yeah, I wouldn't have anything else to add.
Okay, thank you. Another question that, you know, there have been a lot of people who've donated funds to Mayo Clinic Health System over the years, and the Navy Healthcare Foundation has donated significant amounts of money. And Mary Ellen Johnson asks, what is happening with the Navy Healthcare Foundation?
I sit there, but I'm not a member, and so I know they've had some meetings, and so I sit with the group, but I'm not a member, and I know they've had some meetings, and so I don't want to speak on their behalf because I don't know.
Okay.
We're not aware of any changes to the way that would function, though. As far as we know, the question has never been raised. The concept that local dollars that are committed to local healthcare services remain local is a foundational principle with our development activities.
Hey, this question is for Chris Schaff, and it's from Paul Steeler. The Albert Lea Tribune reported that the Fremont County Board is considering requesting a temporary injunction to hold the proposed changes in services. Where does this stand, and are there any other plans under consideration?
I think
right now that was discussed in a workshop. The county attorney talked about a case out east where that occurred, and I think that was about where it stands. I would see some time before that ever came to fruition.
Okay. I have a question here that does not have a name on it, but I think it's one that people are sensing. And given that Mayo has lost the trust of community leaders, business donors, and citizens, what would Mayo plan to do to rebuild that trust? Dr. Gostad?
Sure. Boy, this has been a very difficult, 10 days since the announcement. We knew that. We expected that it would be disruptive. We didn't necessarily anticipate that the misinformation level would cause more distress than the facts themselves. The facts themselves are quite enough for a community to handle. We are committed to working with you, to continuing dialogue, to sharing what we know. We have been committed to openness. Our staff have been hearing about changes and understanding the big things that we were considering with the optimization project for a year now. We've also been working with our partners in organized medicine, letting them know the changes that we're discussing. We came to you once the decision was made. We knew what was Hospital A and what was Hospital B. We still have things that aren't fully decided. We're going to be problem solving around the things that arise as we work through this entire project. As Dr. Chody mentioned, the question of, well, what about a short overnight stay observation level? Is that going to be possible? That arose a couple of days ago, but we're going to be tackling it, and we're going to be tackling many more things like that. We want to provide you with information. The website mentioned is one of the ways that we're going to push information out to you as it becomes available. We'll be available for more community dialogues. We really want you to be informed of what's going on here, and we want to hear your voices to help us get it right. We're not going to be able to fix everything that makes people distressed or unhappy about this, but we're going to try to land in the best possible place. And so rebuilding trust is going to be a matter of saying open information and giving you honest dialogue about what we know and working toward solving the things that are problem areas wherever we can come up with win-win solutions.
Randy, I came here believing that we were going to have a chance to let people hear from us.
You are in about 5 minutes.
Hour of the sales pitch, how about opening it up for us?
In about... Okay. Let me then lay out some. Again, we're trying to get this out of here. Actually, they've answered a lot of questions already, so let me lay some ground rules for this. We'll move to the open forum part of the night. There are many in the audience who wish to speak just based on that amount of applause. Consequently, we're limiting time to 90 seconds to either ask your question or make your remarks. In order to achieve the maximum number of questions asked in the next 35 to 40 minutes. This will allow time. Yes, you may, but both of our physicians have surgeries in the morning, and as I told Dr. Chody, I would personally prefer that if he were doing my hip, that he be alert. So this will allow, if we don't stop and listen, please. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Microphones are located in the front of the room. They've already been found. And we'll alternate between them. There is a person in the front of the room who will indicate how much time remains. We ask that you respect that time limit because so many people have questions and would like to ask them. If you represent a group, we ask that that one person from the group come and speak so that we don't have repetition of questions, and then be respectful of all the people who want to speak behind you
and all the people sitting up here giving of their time to sit on the panel. And many questions will go unanswered. There's no question about that. Dr. Schody and some of his medical team have agreed to stay afterwards, at least a reasonable amount of time, to answer questions that you may have directly. And when you come to the microphone, please state your name and your role in the community. So as I see over there, I see Mr. Aarons is at the microphone. Go ahead, please.
Is this live?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Al Aarons, I'm a retired businessman living in Albert Lea for over 50 years. I want to thank you for coming as representative from Mayo, but I am angry, and I am very angry. We moved here 50 years ago. When I changed my position, we elected to stay in Albert Lea because of the beauty of this community. 21 years ago, you came, Mayo, came to Albert Lea and made a lot of promises. One of the promises that you made was that there would be a board established of 11 people, and seven of those representatives would be from Albert Lea, and that the board would carry out a lot of power. One of the things that it said was that there would be no move of any medical service from Albert Lea without the approval of this 11 board. I have a number of questions. One, what happened to that board? And number two, how could you close a hospital? Let me say, I know the difficulty of the Mayo employees in our community. And they have done a fantastic job with our hospital. It is now rated as one of the top rural hospitals in the nation. And now, Mayo is coming to close that facility. It is also rated as one of the best surgical hospitals in the state of Minnesota.
Okay.
And yesterday,
Mr. Aarons, we're going to have to move on to another.
And yesterday, the baby center received a straight award. My question is, how can you close a hospital with that type of reputation?
Thank you, Al.
So I'm just briefly going to say we completely reject the idea that this means closing this hospital. This hospital will remain vital in this community, providing care.
First of all, I want to finish Al Aarons' message he was trying
to
say.
Hold on a second. Okay. Is that, are we finished with the answer? Dr. Schody, anything?
No, that's a very good question about the board. You know, we have a local board, and I'll just tell you there are three local members voiced. I just want this group to know that the three local Albert Lea members voiced their concerns about where we are right now. But they also understood that as board members and the board had a consensus that they would support the board's decision. The board changed when Albert Lea and Austin merged, and because Albert Lea and Austin are a single place, this is a reserved power of the sole member, which is the Mayo Clinic. So there wasn't a vote at the board about this exact place that we've ended up in. There was a long discussion, and I just want to make it clear that the three Albert Lea public board members were very supportive of Albert Lea. I think it's important that you know that.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Schody. Now I'll turn to you.
Okay. I want to finish what Al was saying. I'm part of the baby place, and we
can
did
you identify yourself? And
I'm Angie, and I'm here to represent on behalf of the 126 nurses that deliver care at this hospital. Some of those nurses have given almost 50 years of their lives at this hospital, and I know she's here tonight. But I did want to finish Al's statement that the baby place did receive an award for service excellence yesterday in Rochester. We are very proud of that. We feel that it's unacceptable that this community will not have a full-service hospital. A large amount of jobs will be affected, and that in turn our community will take a huge hit. Not only job loss, but the loss of revenue at gas stations, grocery stores, hotels, not to mention all the work and money put into restoring our beautiful downtown area. This saddens me. Now my question is, was there an initial plan that would have kept more services here in Albert Lea? Or was this the only plan that was given out?
No. Thank you. There, I'll just go through the process, just because it's the number one question I get. I had Rochester leadership come to me in December of last year, and with the realization and that we can't keep duplicating services in two hospitals 25 miles apart and stay viable long term so that we have some local care. And I do believe that. And so I was asked to lead a group to look at both campuses and how could we balance the services to keep as many things in this area as we could. And so we had a large group, and we met weekly for a year. Lots of data, lots of discussion, lots of different options. Hospital A, Hospital B, this service there, that service there. We went back and forth. And OB, there's no question about it. OB was the emotional, difficult part for most of us. I believe that combining the ICUs and raising the level of care within 30 miles of where you are is going to allow us to keep more Albert Lea and Austin patients close to home. So I personally agree with that. And then because of that, if I do a big inpatient surgery, I need an ICU nearby. The majority of what I do is outpatient. But if I need an inpatient surgery, I need an ICU. And then it came down to OB. And we had different options about where OB could be and where it couldn't be. And that was vetted through different specialty councils in Rochester. Our local obstetricians were involved in that, and ultimately we met with Rochester leadership, went over the options, and on May the 8th, after long discussions, this is the option that we are at. And so that's how, so May 8th is when we all knew about it locally. I shared that with our local team that week. We had a board meeting May 22nd, I think it's a Thursday. And then in that short time, we tried to make our announcements. And so that's the process that we went through. But for OB, the question is, could you have OB separated from an ICU? And the answer is, you know, maybe. But if you're a mother that delivers and has a catastrophe, you need the ability to rescue the mom. And that's probably best done where there's an ICU. That's the feedback we got from our Rochester obstetric colleagues. And so I think that's how that all ended up. And then after that time, and I'll just tell you, when I heard that, I was sad. First I was sad because I agree, you know, we've done wonderful work here and we have wonderful people that I work for. And then I was angry. And I was really angry for a long time. And then Dr. Gostout asked me, she said, you know, this is what we're doing, and will you help make it the best that it can be? And that's why I'm up here, because I want to make it the best that it can be for our patients and to protect as many jobs as we can and treat our patients as close to home as we can and be intimately involved with the Destin Mason Medical Center, because when you need it, it's right there and there are partners. And so that's why I'm sitting up here, and that's how I got here.
Dr. Gostout, did you want to add anything to that? Or
I want to add my tremendous gratitude to the entire group that worked through these difficult decisions, knowing that there were community implications. I really do stand behind the decision with OB. It is a difficult decision. It's easy to think, couldn't we have this as a modular piece in the other, in the Hospital B version? You can believe that as long as you can stay in the place of thinking that OB is a wonderful event in a woman's life, and we think of the social, religious, family, emotional, and tremendous things with birth. If you work in obstetrics long enough, you inevitably encounter the time when that hoped-for experience turns very different very fast. The statistics tell us very clearly that this is the highest risk time in a young woman's life, is the delivery of her child. And to not have the emergency and highest acuity services immediately available for that rare mom that needs them would be a disservice to that mom. That is not going to happen on my watch. We turned it to the OB Specialty Council to weigh the pros and cons and help us with this decision, and they came out unanimously and clearly saying, do not separate OB from high acuity care. So we think a careful and thoughtful decision was made. 23 miles. Not what you'd choose, but come on, folks. People are driving 23 miles to get their favorite ice cream. People are driving 23 miles to go shopping. So somebody just said not a good comparison, but comparing safety and outstanding medical care to convenience and enjoyment, it does have a validity there. It doesn't take away the fact that it's a sting. We'll find our way through this. We're committed to outstanding medical care.
Mr. Overgaard.
I've heard and read that this meeting that led up to this decision to reduce services included stakeholders. We are all stakeholders. Which of us was in that meeting? Who were the Albert Lea stakeholders?
Is that your question, Paul?
That's a question, yes.
No, I'll take that. I mean, it's a great question. We, I said we had a large group from the medical center, and I don't remember, in the fall and winter, between the two communities, made 8 to 10, went out into the community to different groups and started presenting. But honestly, at that point, it was vague. It was Hospital A and Hospital B. And it became quite clear early on that everybody thought it was a great idea as long as you lived where Hospital A was or you lived where Hospital B was. And so after about 10 of those, we quite frankly stopped doing those and started to think about it from that side of
it. But the representations have been that there were stakeholders from this community in those meetings that made that decision. What I'm asking is, who are those stakeholders?
Well, I think it's me. I'm a stakeholder. I live here.
You're a biased stakeholder.
I'll give you that, yeah.
Okay. Who else?
Again, after those presentations, it was made within the medical center.
So there isn't a person here that was a part of that decision. There aren't nameable individuals in Albert Lea that participated in this decision.
That are non-medical center employees?
Yes.
No.
Okay. That.
Thank you, Paul.
That the presentation of the doctors is admirable, but you are, admit it, biased. I chaired the committee to raise money for the clinic. When we raised considerable dollars in Albert Lea, we raised it with the assurance that Mayo cared about us and intended that we be a better and a more full community. That was a promise with limited time commitment, in my opinion.
Thank you, Paul. And do either of you have a response to that, or no? I'll move over here to this side of the room.
My name is Jennifer Vogt Erickson. I'm so glad to see so many people here, and I encourage you to stay involved in this process. This is just the beginning. And I'm a former teacher in the community. I am now a stay-at-home mom. I am from a much smaller community than this. I grew up with Aiken as my hometown. It's about 2,500 people. They have an independent full-service hospital. They even have some births there. And no disrespect to my hometown, but there's a lot more going on here in this rural community, and so it really caught me by surprise that I thought this was a a much bigger city, and now we might be losing our full-service hospital. So you mentioned that our hospital is operating at a loss, so I'd just like to, if you could please help me understand the reasons why we're operating at a loss. Thanks.
Thank you, Jennifer.
So healthcare economics are very, very difficult. When John Noseworthy took over as the president and CEO for Mayo Clinic, he said, tough times are ahead. We are going to have to adapt. And as we began to make some changes to adapt in order to ensure viability for the future, many of us were feeling like it's getting kind of tough. And I remember Dr. Noseworthy saying, we aren't even out of the harbor yet when it comes to the difficult times for healthcare. Well, folks, we are out in the harbor. I'm not sure that we're all the way in the open waters yet, but these are challenging times. Reimbursement level for healthcare services is going down, even as many of you are paying higher insurance premiums. The amount coming to the medical center is lower. The cost of medical care is going up. We have new technologies, we have new equipment, we have phenomenal new drugs that are extending lives and making higher quality of lives at unprecedented costs. As a cancer doctor, I have never before seen patients whose therapies are saying are in the range of, well, this will cost you $10,000, $15,000 per month to continue this. It's expensive. We have amazing medical care in this country, but it is very, very expensive. So we're trying to make ends meet even as we offer the latest technologies, the latest things available. We are saving lives and having better outcomes. The testament that somebody said earlier that this hospital, this single entity, it's listed as Albert Lea, but when it's listed as Albert Lea, it's Albert Lea Austin, the single unit, is recognized. The legal entity, the entity recognized by the reviewing bodies, is the combined hospital. That's it. So you are recognized for your excellence, but that doesn't come easy or cheap. And making the ends meet is getting harder and harder. So as I'm leading this team, I keep saying we have got to pay attention to what is core. What is the core thing we offer to our patients and our communities? Core is medical and surgical care and that aspect of preventive care that rightly belongs in a medical center. We've got to focus on that. We've got to get that strong and something that can endure and survive these financial times, or we threaten the very ability to provide those services to communities. So we're going to get leaner. We're making changes in many places. We're examining the multiple ways that we can say, preserve and strengthen the core while skinnying it down so that we can make the equation affordable. There's no business in this town or in any town that would be satisfied operating with million-dollar losses. It's not viable. We've got to figure this out, and we're going to figure this out, but it will involve some difficult decisions like this. We're going to do the best we can to keep the convenience factor as well as the quality factor, but we're not going to be able to make it so that the healthcare that you knew 5 years ago is exactly the same as what's going forward. It just won't work anymore in these equations.
Thank you. I think that's Don Sorensen there.
That's me.
Okay.
My name is Don Sorensen. I was born in Navy Hospital 79 years ago. I spent my entire life in the elderly area. My wife Ellen and I owned a very successful business for over 40 years. We have traveled the entire country and much of the world, but choose to call Albert Lea our home. I sympathize with the problems we are facing in the medical world, but I have a problem. The fact that the Mayo system elected to implement a long-range plan that effectively closes our hospital without consulting city or county officials is the height of hypocrisy and arrogance. Because of the way this plan was developed, I do not believe the community can trust the word of Mayo representatives any longer. By its action, Mayo has proven it does not put the needs of the community first. As citizens of Albert Lea, we need to explore our options. Yes, there are options. There are always options. The community needs to hire a highly qualified legal counsel to help us consider all possible actions. Then we as a community can make an educated decision on how to go forward. That may include what you are recommending. I don't know. But every individual in the area, young, old, rich, or poor, will suffer because of this decision. No one will benefit long term. Albert Lea without a hospital is not acceptable. I never thought I'd live to see the day when one issue could perhaps unite the entire community, but this is this day. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Chad, I believe you addressed this a little bit previously, but maybe you'd like to respond to that.
Yeah, and I think, to Mr. Sorensen's point, we are in what I would still call a preliminary stage of reaching out to a lot of experts in the hospital profession, and we're gaining information on that. We have not yet met in a council setting on this or have met with the Freeborn County Board on it. We recognize that this matter is somewhat of an immediate nature, so we're moving forward with it very quickly to see what our options are, and as I mentioned before, we're looking at all options to see what might be in the best interest of the community.
Thank you. And to this side of the room.
My name is Elizabeth Endicott. I'm a pastor here in Austin, in Albert Lea. Prior to that, I was a chaplain at St. Mark's Living in Austin and a pastor there. Prior to that, 20 years on the East Coast, and at one point a chaplain at Women and Infants Hospital in Providence, Rhode Island. The most difficult thing that I've heard this evening are the two words, change, and the difficult time that the group here is having with understanding what needs to be done to take care of all of you. Living in Austin and coming from the East Coast, I was told that you will never be accepted here. The people that come from Albert Lea, you will never be absorbed into the community. Albert Lea is a wonderful community, and you're terrific. Your hospital is great, as is the one in Austin. However, as a pastor, I also sit beside the beds of people who are gravely ill. I've sat in the emergency rooms at both hospitals and waited for people to be cared for. They haven't been able to be for a variety of reasons, mostly because there's not enough staff. I've been a patient in both of those hospitals. Dr. Chody's taken care of me. And at one point, he had to send me upstairs to the ICU. He couldn't do it because I couldn't go. There wasn't enough staff. I invite you, please, to think about what they're telling you that needs to be done. Change is not a word that Austin wants to hear or that you want to hear. We don't like what we know to be done, but we all want to be taken care of. We want our health care preserved. So please listen carefully about how we can get the care that we need. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. And I can't see who that is, so I'll turn to you on my left.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. My name is Margie Kirshner. I've worked a lot with children and everything. But I worked at Mayo Clinic from 59 to 65. When we were open on Saturdays until 2 o'clock, when we worked until 7 o'clock at night to get the people in and get them out so they didn't have to stay on the weekends. So I feel bad about doing this because that 7 years was the best years of my life. I loved getting up in the morning and going to work and knowing we were really doing something wonderful. We moved here in 50. In 68, I lost a little girl who was stillborn. I had her going down the hall, so I would have never made it to Austin. In 70, I had a 9-hour gallbladder surgery. It had broke, I was seriously ill, and I had a baby boy 18 hours later, 2 months early. We stayed in Albert Lea. We did not go to Rochester, we didn't go anywhere, and the reason we made it was because of this wonderful hospital, the doctors, and the wonderful care that we had. He was 15 days, I was 2 months. A year later, I went to Mayo Clinic. They went through my record and everything. Went to Mayo Clinic, and their first answer, question was, how did they get you and your son through with as bad as you both were? I guess I raised my earth.
Thank you. Well, nobody's grabbing a microphone, so I don't really know why that feedback is there, but Ellie, see what you can do. Maybe shut everybody off. But the young lady on my right who's going to ask her question now.
My name is Barbara Callahan. I'm a retired registered nurse. I have a couple of questions. Number one, when you say the core of healthcare is the patient. Okay? My question is, why would you move an ICU unit 20 miles when that unit will be about 20 miles or 25 miles from Rochester, when you have surrounding areas here that need ICU?
Thank you.
That's a good question. And again, we average 3 or 4 patients in our ICUs, and I want to make it clear, our care is great in those ICUs, but an ICU is measured by how big it is. The bigger it gets, the more beds it has, the sicker the patients that can come there. And so when you're that sick, and again, we are transferring 300 or 400 patients to Rochester that need a little bit bigger ICU than we can. So combining the ICUs allows patients to stay out of Rochester another 300 or 400 of them a year, because it'll go from 8 to 10 to 12 beds, and at a 10 to 12 bed ICU, we can start to take care of those patients that we'd otherwise have to transfer to Rochester. And so instead of going all the way to Rochester, it would be in Austin.
Well,
thank you.
To me, that doesn't make sense, but I am just a nurse.
Ma'am, we have to move to other questions. We have to move on to other questions. Briefly.
You always bring up the fact that you can't get staffing. Of the recent physicians that have been lost since Mayo came in, how many of them are now employed by a Mayo facility?
Thank you.
Please answer that.
Randy, can you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
Of the physicians, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, of the physicians who have left Albert Lea Medical Center, how many of them are employed currently in a Mayo facility, if you know that number?
I don't. I don't know, but if it's not none, it's a very small number. I mean, I will say that. But I don't know the number.
Okay. Thank you. On my left.
My name is Charlotte Nelson Shocker, and
Okay. My name is Charlotte Nelson Shocker, and I have a question, a couple questions quick. Bobby, you keep, and Dr. Schode, you did too, you mentioned it's 23 miles from Albert Lee to Austin. Okay, my question is, when you bought us, when Mayo bought us, the mileage has not moved. So my question is, why did you buy us when you knew there was only 23 miles or 20 miles between Albert Lee and Austin? And my other question is, we're moving the ICU unit this in October. Then you're going to remodel. Wouldn't it make more sense to remodel first and then move the unit?
Okay, thank you for your question.
And I understand, Dr. Schode, that, you know, you're here and you're talking to us, but I don't really think you are the one. I think you're the scapegoat for Mayo.
So you asked, I'm trying to control.
Ellie?
So you asked, why did we buy you 20 years ago? And of course we weren't there, so I don't know for sure, but I would guess that purchase was because these were outstanding medical facilities in outstanding communities, and they still are, and they still will be. You said, does it make sense to do the ICU renovation first, second, or in between? And there will be a process. It'll be complicated. It is not a single-step process. The group has thought through it carefully, but we still have more modeling to do. So we will carefully think about the when, where, and how. But right now, I think Dr. Chody has done a good job of laying out the order for you. And then the last thing I want to say is Dr. Chody is an extraordinary leader. It doesn't take much thought to realize what a difficult job he has here. So to imply that he is anything other than a talented and dedicated leader, I think, conveys all the wrong things. This is a hard job.
Here on my right.
My name is Jamie Tapp. I live in Myrtle. I'm actually the mayor of Myrtle, and I'm on the volunteer fire department in Myrtle. Being on the fire department, we go to, you know, a lot of calls, and we assist other departments on other calls. When our pagers goes off, we get to respond to the call, and we ask for an ambulance. And 9 times out of 10, especially in Albert Lee, the fire department's responding to the calls, not the ambulance. When we're helping people, I want to make sure that there's an ambulance system here in town that's going to help me when I need help, when I'm helping somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can. So, as you know, Gold Cross is building a new facility where on the grass end of where the old high school was, and that was actually a separate decision, separate process by Gold Cross when they looked at their calls. Over the past several years, where's the central location where they could house their ambulances and their crews, and that ended up being in Albert Lee. So they will have a very large presence in Albert Lee, and they currently are the ambulance service that we use in Albert Lee.
Okay. I want to point out there are, I think, 5 people standing in line. We're getting toward the end of our time frame, so I'd like to deal with these 5 people. Dr. Schode will stay afterwards, as will his medical staff, if there are other questions. Excuse me. Over here.
Thank you, Randy. My name is Colin Meinhardt. I'm an Albert Lee kid, born in Navy Hospital way back in 56, graduated from Albert Lee Senior High. My kids were raised here. I'm a local businessman for the last 30 years in the area. And I also serve on the Mayo Patient Advisory Committee. I don't know if you know that, Dr. Schode, but I do, thanks to your buddy, Dr. Bogger here, that put me on it. So I don't know if that was good or bad. But what I do want to talk about is that, obviously, I can see the pain in your face. And I understand that you care about this community, you served on the school board, and you have a deep love for this community. I think that's obvious. But what we're not talking about here is we're not talking about the staff or the help. Dr. Bagra is a doctor that has saved my life. The Mayo medical system, I had triple bypass surgery. So between me and the insurance company, we got a few hundred thousand invested into Mayo. But a guy like Al Aarons that came up here and his family, you know, they got like 70,000 invested in building this. So you can understand the pain in this community. I'm an Alden businessman. We don't go 23 miles for ice cream. If you're in Alden, there's another 12 miles. There's another 12 miles. There's cities, there's communities like Blue Earth that have hospital that don't have as much as us who would transfer patients here. I know you people know that. So we're a hub. We're a big area, and that's why we're all here and we're concerned. And I'm here as a representative of Alberley, even though I am a candidate for Congress. The Mayo Clinic is an important part of this. I just don't want to get... I'm not here to campaign, but everybody knows that this is what I am doing, but I'm here because I want to help.
Okay.
And I want to be here on the Mayo Patient Advisory Committee and help. Thank you,
Colin. Here on my right, Paul.
It's obvious from the group that is here.
Paul, can you identify yourself? Not everybody knows who you are.
I'm Paul Steeler, retired from the city. I was also born in Navy Hospital and graduated from Albert Lee High School. So I've been here many years and seen quite a transition over the years. But tonight we're here talking about the hospital. We've had a hospital here since the 1800s sometime, and there's a number of different locations it's been in until Navy took over. But anyway, obvious from the group here, there's a lot of concern about keeping inpatient services here. Now, in the last 4 days, we got 1,145 signatures from concerned citizens in Albert Lee here. And there's around 18,000 people in the area, and so, you know, that demonstrates from these signatures that there's a high percentage of the people that are really concerned about medical, the financial, and the emotional part investment in our hospital. And we could go on and collect more signatures, but I think that was enough to show that we are concerned. We don't feel like we were included. And we need to serve not only Albert Lee, but we have other communities to the southwest that rely on us. And
I have a quick question here. One, Paul, would you be willing to surrender that petition? And would Mayo be willing to accept it to look at and see what the...
Okay. We'll make a copy and forward it to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dr. Schody, would the best way to do that, would that be to make that copy available to administration at the hospital?
Yes.
Okay.
You can find it on Facebook at Albert Lee Save Our Services.
Okay. Well, I was switching to the other side, Paul.
I just wanted to say we got 100 more signatures right now.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Bill Olson. I'm a 53-year resident of Albert Lee, and I want to thank the two of you from Mayo for coming here. It's just too bad that more people from Rochester that actually are in the financial end didn't come to support you guys. Two quick questions. Number one, you talked a little bit about having Albert Lee become a premier, if I use the word correct, outpatient surgical center. Does that mean that the people from Austin will be coming to Albert Lee to get their outpatient, or where will they be coming from? Number two, we talk a lot about revenue. So a lot of this had to do with some of it, you said doctors not being able to come, but a lot of it had to do with the money issues. So, real quickly, do you know the difference in patient revenue between Austin, Albert Lee, and Mayo, and how big a difference did that make in any decisions? Thank you for your time. Yep.
So we do... Is that on?
Yep.
So we do anticipate a growth in the outpatient surgeries, and that will probably involve surgeries that I currently do in Austin that I would do over here. Because when we move inpatient, the bigger inpatient surgeries to Austin, we don't have room for everything. So there will be surgeries that we had previously done in Austin that we will be doing in Albert Lea. And then when you're set up more for outpatient surgery, you can start to do some things as an outpatient that were historically inpatient. Total joints, a knee replacement, is very quickly becoming an outpatient procedure, but it requires a facility that does those. So that's part of the grand plan, is to increase the number of surgeries that are outpatient. And then what was your second question?
Follow up on that. So some people from Austin might actually have to be coming to Albert Lea other than the psychiatric type things.
Yeah,
so we might get some feedback.
Yep.
Second question was revenue per patient between Austin, Albert Lea, and Rochester, and how that might have affected any decisions.
Yeah, I don't know the revenue per patient. I do know that because the sizes are almost identical by employees and number of patients that we see, that the Albert Lea Austin revenues are pretty much split down the middle.
Thank you.
Yes.
We have three people standing in line, and those will have to be the last three tonight. We do anticipate another one of these, and I have your written questions to give to Mayo. Now, on my right.
Hi, my name is Megan Hokus. I would like to speak on behalf of the new moms in our community and maybe the younger demographic. I recently gave birth to a beautiful baby girl in the baby place located in Albert Lea. My mother, Angie, has collectively been employed with Mayo for over 10 years. As a new mom, the familiarity of my mother and the wonderful nurses I have been acquainted with because of her comforted me in a very scary time. How will you preserve that comfort with the commute and provide continuity of care when I have been seen only in Albert Lea and could have a physician I have never met deliver my baby?
So those are... Is this working?
Not.
Those are the kinds of things that we'll want to solve around. First of all, I'm delighted to hear that your experience was everything that it was. I mean, that's fantastic to have your mom and friends of your mom take care of you. I assume that there are friendships across these communities and many more, and that they'll play out in new and different ways. I think it's fair to assume that the teams of doctors taking care of you want to solve these issues too and want to give you a high quality experience. I don't know exactly what the answers are going to look like. I don't know whether they're going to cover across campuses in order to say we'll give chances to meet one another. But there are a variety of solutions, and there are ways to keep working toward meeting those needs. So we're on a journey together, and we've got to figure those things out.
Thank you. And to my left. And
hi, everyone. My name is Jay Armstrong. I have the great privilege of being able to work for the 126 RNs that belong to Minnesota Nurses Association over at the hospital. First, I have a comment, and then I've got a question about the process of how we arrived at where we are tonight. Everything that I've heard tonight so far is in the vein of how this works for Mayo and not for the community. And since you weren't here in 1995, I'll remind you of the articles that appeared in the Tribune on December 1st and December 12th, 1995, where Dr. Tompkins and Larry Pfaff bent over backwards to make promises to the community that they would not diminish services in the community without local input. This process has been done in secret. Dr. Schoede has basically admitted that there was nobody but Mayo employees that were involved in this decision, and you have sprung it, if not ambushed, the community with this decision. We believe The nurses believe that there are alternatives. Whether that involves Mayo or not is up to Mayo, but the community needs to move forward independently and with their own needs in mind, not Mayo's needs in mind. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And our last questioner on the right.
All right. My name is AJ Quartz. I'm a nurse in special care and med surg here at the hospital. First of all, thank you guys for coming and answering our questions. And thank you guys for supporting our community. First question I have, really quick question. How many special care beds are in Austin currently?
I think there's six.
Six. So we have eight here in Albert Lea. They're going to advance to 13 beds in Austin, which kind of goes against the idea of expanding room. So that is confusing to me.
Well, I'm sorry, AJ, it's eight beds in Austin.
Eight beds in Austin.
Currently.
So we're going to advance to 12 or 13, which is going from 16 to 13. So it's a little confusing in that aspect when we're trying to build. I understand as a special care nurse and med surg nurse, we do ship a lot of patients that, you know, we would love to keep and take care of ourselves in their own community. It's important to us to keep people home and close to home so family can visit because we know how much family means to our patients. Now, that being said, we need to be giving the opportunity, the education, the technology, everything we need to succeed as we will and we have. We are recognized in our community and the services that we all give because of the good work that we do, and we will continue to do so if we're given that opportunity. Now, that being said, if we're having more of these challenging patients and we're more educated and keeping more ventilators and everything in our facility, that'll bring the challenge that these physicians, these new graduates, want to work in. And they will work in the beautiful town and community that Albert Lea and the surrounding areas have. And they'll meet all of these fantastic people that we see on a daily basis.
We need to wrap this up if we can.
What's that?
We need to wrap it up if we can.
Hold on. I thought I had one more. That's it. Thank you all for joining us.
I want to close by thanking our panelists, but most of all, I thank all of you. This is a very emotional issue, and by and large, you did yourselves proud tonight. So thank you very much. Pay attention. There will be more of these, we believe. I just can't give you a date certain. Thank you for attending.